My name is Johnny. I work with BFSM, Believers Fellowship Student Ministries, and my partner in crime, John Lucas, and I. We get a chance this morning to thank you and to share your resources, what your resources have done this past summer. So many of you have supported Believers Fellowship Student Ministries, BFSM, from here on out. Many of you have supported BFSM over the years and sent us to mission trips or camps over the summer. And it's just an amazing time. It's some of our favorite events. And in a moment, we're going to highlight two trips this morning, the middle school family mission trip. So it's middle schoolers and their families. It's one of our favorites. And the high school mission trip that we took over the summer as well. So John's going to get up and talk about the middle school family mission trip. But before that, we want to give you some context about what we're talking about. So here's a video of what took place over the mission trip. So check this out.
I had to throw Johnny Pearson under the bus there. He made it the furthest on that little route there. That was like a Ninja Warrior course at the camp we stayed at. This video does a good job of showing how much fun we have as families and as community on this trip. We seriously, it goes like this. Like, you do one fun thing, you go from like zip lining and almost peeing your pants down the zip line and praying to God, and you're putting faith in God, and then the next moment, you are serving in our communities. You're serving at farms. You're serving at food banks. And it is just so much fun. And we do it all as families. I've never been a part of a trip like this. I did it 2 years ago for the first time. But it is amazing to see families come together and parents serve with their own kids, which is something I never got growing up. And it's something that is beautiful to watch and something beautiful to see together. So it is just so cool to look back on that and be like, we did that this summer. We impacted people in our backyard, and we did it through service, right? And that was kind of our theme for the trip. Our theme was the upside-down kingdom of God, and we focused on John 18, where Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world," right? He says that right in front of Pilate before he goes to the cross. And he says, "My kingdom is not of this world," and we looked at different ways that Jesus did service, the ways that Jesus sacrificed himself, the way that he brought people along with him to show and point people towards the kingdom of God, his kingdom, where he's from. And we talked about that, and usually upper room nights, I have talks and I encourage our students to grow and to go out into the world and make a change. But on this trip, families are there and there's no escape. Like, you guys go right out into serving the community. And it's just so amazing. It's this great picture of BF, our community, serving the outside community. And it is so much fun. So if you guys want to be a part of that, we're doing it again next year. We can be excited for that. And it's a privilege for me to be up here and just look you guys in the eyes and say thank you. Thank you for pouring into our students to have this kind of experience, for our families to meet other families, laugh and have fun at one moment, and the next serving together and having great experiences that they remember. Like, I'm looking at some of the families that were on this trip in this room, and they'll tell you it was a good time. I hope they'll tell you that. But we loved it. So thank you again, bottom of my heart, and for the students. You guys, thank you. All right, Johnny Pearson's back up.
All right. We'll tell you which families to talk to if you want a report on that, just to clear the bases. But yeah, he's not giving it justice. The families come together on a Thursday night, and they stay till Sunday, and it's a mixture of serving together and then a mixture of making some fun memories at the camp that we stay at. We stay at a camp centrally located between Seattle and Tacoma, so we go out and we serve from Seattle to Tacoma as families. It's one of our favorite trips, and we're not at max capacity. We can put another 100 people in that group photo. So it would be so amazing to see our church as a family. So if you have a middle schooler, the whole family is invited. And I remember our first year we did it, some of the high schoolers came thinking like, my family's gonna be there, lame. And they had the most fun, right? Like, they totally loved it, and it's a great time. So find out what weekend it is. It's usually in the summertime, early summer. We take a long weekend. Thursday night, take one vacation day. I know you have none left now. Because a summer of COVID is like, we have to do everything we missed out on. And I know you don't have any left now, but save one day next June and take a Friday vacation day. You come Thursday night, we eat meals together, we worship together, we learn together, and we serve together, and we have fun together. And John, I should clarify, I was not the only one to make it over that course. I was the oldest one to make it the furthest, I think. Because those middle schoolers, like 7 or 8 year olds are like, meow, like they live for that. But it's one of our favorite trips. It's awesome. So that's our middle school family mission trip. And we do that for to be intentional with family time, first of all. That's awesome. But we also do it because it's actually kind of intimidating to send a middle schooler like across the state or across the country on a week-long mission trip, right? Like, I now have a middle schooler, and not that I don't trust John, but I don't know if I would want to send her because it's so far and it's so long. And I'm like, got the dad heartstrings going. I'm like, no, 6 days serving? No, you just stay local. So we ended up only taking like 5 or 6 students on our middle school mission trips. So we shifted gears to family focused, and we've shifted gears to local focus as well. And so not only do families come and have a great time, but also families get a chance to learn where they can serve any time throughout the year. Like, you can go on a Saturday to Mother Earth Farms, where they provide fresh fruits and vegetables to the food banks, local food banks. And it's an opportunity for you to get your hands dirty as a family and provide fresh fruits and vegetables, which is what food banks often lack. If you think about it, when you do a food drive, hey, do you have any canned food? Do you have any pickles at all? Eat later, or do you have any canned food or boxed food? Like, we rarely do we ask, hey, do you have any fresh fruits and vegetables? You ever wonder where they get it? They get it from one of those farms that donate all of their produce to the food bank. So that's just one example. Or Northwest Furniture Bank, like, parents can then learn, like, oh, I can come and build IKEA furniture for someone else. And then the dad's like, I don't even build it for myself. Why would I want to build it? But it's a ministry opportunity. Like, and the kids actually do really good because they have nimble fingers to use the same tool all day long. So we give them an opportunity to see what local service projects they can do as families. That's our goal. So it's local, and it's perfect to ramp up to high school. Because in middle school, it's like a local family mission trip. But in high school, maybe they're a little more mature. Maybe we've built more trust with the families. For whatever reason, kids are ready to go a little further. And so in high school, we actually have a rotation of mission trips because we believe that God is bigger than just one area. And we want to give kids and students an idea of maybe where they might fit and feel passionate about serving in the future. So we do Mexico 1 year, and we go down, we do a vacation Bible school, and we do service projects. And it's so fun to play with the niños and give piggyback rides and use like the 4 phrases of Spanish you learned in Spanish 1. That's fun. But then we also say, you know, God's bigger than that. So let's go urban. And so we'll do an urban mission trip, maybe down to San Francisco, and see what God's doing in ministries that are inner city, working with homeless people, working with lower income. And it's awesome to see them stretch their comfort zone in that area. And then we'll occasionally do an international mission trip. This past summer, 2021, was scheduled to be Guatemala. It was our big international mission trip. I have friends that are missionaries down there. They've been down there for 15 years doing some amazing things, and I've never taken a group down. And then finally, they're like, Johnny, take a group down. We need it bad. COVID hit us hard. People are needing community. They need some like buildings built for schools. Like, we don't have anything, and things has opened up. So in faith, I'm like, yes, Melanie, Alex, we will come down and serve. We've never done this before. We've got a great supportive church. So in faith, I bought $26,000 of plane tickets. I know, it's your money, not mine. In faith, I spent your money. And in wisdom, we postponed the trip till next summer. The airline credit is still good, so we're not out of that money. We'll use our credit, and everybody that was signed up for the trip now has to come with us. It's just how it goes. It's non-transferable, non-refundable. It's the cheapest tickets we could find. Hopefully they can make it. Otherwise, we're going to go next summer. But we had to pivot, right? For a lot of reasons, we had to cancel or postpone the trip. So we had to pivot to a rural mission trip. That's the fourth experience that we want to give our students. And the rural trip is one of my favorite trips for a number of reasons. It's actually easier to sit on the ground and color with a little niño that doesn't speak your language, okay? And you feel like you're doing something. Oh, this is a little cute little kid. I love it. This is so fun. But it's actually harder to stand with a peer, a teenager, and share your story with them, right? Like someone that's going through the same struggles, that speaks the same language, that speaks the same, like, oh my gosh, this is like nerve-wracking. So our rural mission trip is a fun combination of service in the morning and outreach in the evening. So we actually do a ton of service projects in the morning, and we do outreach in the evening, like peer-to-peer relational outreach, sharing stories. I'm so proud of these students. And I could talk about it, or I could show you about it. Doesn't make sense, but here's a video.
Hi, I'm Ellie. I'm so excited to be on this mission trip. We're currently working at a church today. We are expanding the parking lot. So over here is this big field that we're currently making to add on to the parking lot. As you can see over here, we are expanding to make it look like a parking lot.
Washing Windows for Youth Dynamics. It's an adventure-based program for students here, and we're hoping to spread the light of Jesus and show them that He cares for everyone. So we are washing windows and packing cars today.
How's it going, guys? I'm here at Youth Dynamic Adventures. It's an organization that basically takes kids rafting during the summer, and it gives them the opportunity to have some fun while blessing them with their discipleship and their ministry. We're just here serving them while they serve others. I'm just finished power washing their headquarters, and yeah.
So each morning we would get into our teams and we would go and do projects all around the city of Cascade, and then in the evening we would come back together up at their local school and do an outreach youth group for all the kids of Cascade. It was hands down my most favorite part of the trip because we really got to build friendships with these kids through funny games, silly activities, making fun of ourselves, but also through student testimonies.
My favorite thing about serving here would be like working together with the team. I think that like this is good quality time. Like we're doing things we don't normally do on a daily basis, and we're working together. Like yesterday we were cleared out a bunch of weeds for a parking lot, and that was good time to just talk to people and like play games, but also like see the progress we've made.
We've been just weeding and trying to clean up this bike trail a bit here at Cascade. It's been really fun working with these guys, getting to see God in the way everybody is, you know, working together to help serve the community. It's been really fun. It's an awesome, eye-opening experience.
Addiction.
there was some of the best times of the trip. Every night, coming around at the end, just worshiping God. Sometimes we'd invite the Cascade youth to come, and they were just kind of like, you guys are worshiping. Kind of like you guys did this morning. Like, the youth band going. I think this was the trip that we needed to come out of a COVID year where we forgot how to have relationships. Like, we forgot what it was like to laugh out loud literally and not just type it. Like, we forgot how to worship together. And this trip, like, it wouldn't have been the same in Guatemala. This is exactly where God wanted us. And I just wanted to say thank you for your support. If you bought a pie last November and you still have it in your freezer, thank you. Thank you for buying a pie you had no intention of eating. If you bought it over Easter, like, again, thank you. If you bought one for the food bank, thank you. If you bought a wreath last Christmas, thank you. If you have your wreath still, like, it's time to put it up again, you could be fine. But no, we worked very hard because we couldn't have our gala. We had to come up with more creative ways to raise funds. And you guys came through, so we want to thank you. And I would be remiss to tell you that in faith, we are planning our gala again for March. So if you're new to the church, yeah, we can cheer that. Yeah. If you're new to the church, this Student Ministries gala is a silent auction. It's a live auction. It's entertainment. Heavy on the quotes. It's student stories. It's a chance to have dinner together. I should put dinner in quotes too because sometimes it's not good. No, it's always great. You don't come for the dinner. You come to support the students on mission trips just like these, to support us going out and being the light to the world around us. So, yeah, just wanted to say thank you for your support of BFSM. And next March, we don't know which Friday, so just set aside every Friday. And you'll thank me because you'll have your Fridays free. All except for one where you come to the gala. So with that being said, that concludes our Mission Recap Sunday for our students. And we are still in a series of Life Entwined. But because we only have like 15 minutes left, Jeremiah has said just stay up there and talk about it. So I will. Last couple weeks, Jeremiah is talking about kind of this series that we do every fall. What does life entwined look like at Believers Fellowship? What does life following Jesus look like here at BF? Well, first of all, he took us through the idea of worship. We want to be a people of God who are unashamed to worship God and give glory to him, no matter which avenue that looks like, whether it's hymns or with a piano or with a guitar or with teenagers or whatever. Like, we want to be a church that worships him and echoes his glory throughout. And then he talked about last week, we want to be a church that talks about community and not only just talks about community, but lives community. And he challenged us and asked us, is your community that you're in right now, does it reflect the kingdom of God? Is it diverse? Is it honoring to each other? Is it vulnerable? Like, are you a part of a community where you can grow in harmony with other people? And if you're not, put your money where your mouth is. You can sign up right out there for a life group. Because we want to offer those. We want to be a part of that. And I understand it's coming out of COVID year and you forgot how to be in community, right? It's full of masks again. It's like so frustrating, but it's like you forgot how to smile with your whole face. Just your eyes are back. Oh, you're smiling? No. Right? You get away with it. But in community, you will not be able to get away with it. So we want to encourage you to be a part of that community that reflects the gospel of Christ. And the third thing that we talk about every year, we talk about worship, we talk about community, and then we talk about mission. We want to be a church that lives life on mission for the kingdom of God. Like, we just highlighted like 2 weeks out of some students' years. There was one gal that went on every single trip because she's a student leader, so she was on the mission trip. She's a senior, so she went on the senior trip. Then she went on the high school, like, she went on everything. It was amazing. She had a great summer. Now she's off at college, changing the world. It's awesome. But that's like 1 week out of the year. We want to not just focus on 1 week of mission as Christians, as Christ followers. We want to live every day on mission for God. What do we do the other 51 weeks of the year, right? So this morning, we're going to be looking just briefly at Colossians chapter 3. And this is actually our theme verse throughout our high school mission trip. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on things of this earth. And again, that's exactly what we needed. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians, and we'll just highlight a couple things in that chapter. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, you can see it on the screen there. It says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Like, this is our daily challenge right here. Like, he doesn't say, hey, once a year, go on a mission trip and set your mind on things above. That happens because I take their phones, by the way. Like, I don't let high schoolers have their phones on mission trip or even on retreats. And some of you guys are like, who are in high school, are like, I'm never going on a retreat then. Guess what? It's the best thing because you remove those distractions and you set your mind on things above. And it's amazing. So here we're challenged to set our minds and our hearts on things above. Not just once a week, not just once a year, but every single day. And this is actually for me, and maybe you're not like me, but probably you are. You get distracted very easily from living on mission, don't you? Right? When we put our minds on earthly things, we are like, oh, squirrel, right? Like, it's just, I'm so easily distracted. And hopefully you're not as distracted as me, but I get so easily distracted. If I see something, like it becomes my new mission to do something. If I have an idea, like that's my new mission. Like, forget about living for God. I'm living for this moment. For example, last spring we went on a vacation, right? Because COVID was over. And so we went on vacation and rental cars, out of this world prices. So I convinced my wife that we should buy a car in Arizona. And we did. She's so sweet. So I drove this car back up and I had 26 hours by myself and I loved it, but I also had time to think, and I look at my odometer and I'm like, this is like low mileage for me, because we usually have high mileage cars. So I'm like, wow, I'm at 120,000 miles. That's not bad. But then I got to thinking, like, it's 12089, eventually it'll be 123. And then what if I can make my odometer like every man's dream, right? So I started counting down the miles, like, what's it going to look like when it rolls over to the certain, you know, when it rolls over big time. Like, I love this there's like 10 years ago, there's a video on Facebook I saw the other day, my Honda CRV rolling over to 200,000 miles, and I had youth in the car and I was probably irresponsible at the time. And we videoed it. Like, I was driving, somebody else, we're watching it and we're like, whoa, it did it, right? All of them moved together. Like, I just get excited about stupid things. So you thought you were like me, but you're not. Anyway, I noticed that I had this odometer thing again. And this time it wasn't just like an all 200,000. That was cool. It was this right here. This was my goal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I made it. Yeah. Thank you. Don't encourage me, actually. No. Say boo and hiss. Like, I don't know. But you notice my odometer. It says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then I got smart. Like, when do I have to hit the reset button? Like, what mileage do I need to put it to get 7, 8, 9 on the top? This is how invested I am and how distracted I am, you guys. So I was on my way to speak at a chapel at a Christian school here in town, and I noticed how close I was. I was like, oh, I'm so close. Like, I live like 7 or 8 miles away, probably like 4. Everything's 15 minutes away in Gig Harbor, though, you know. So I'm like, oh, I'm so close. So I go and I'm looking at my odometer, like, and I'm like probably like running red lights. I'm just like focused in, okay? And I almost get to the school where I'm supposed to like talk about, you know, Jesus. And I'm so riveted on this. So I actually pull into a neighborhood, and it's a gated community. I collect gate codes, though, by the way, so I can get into a lot of communities. So if you have a gate code that you want to give me, totally fine. But I got into this gated community. My friends live there. I'm not a creeper. My friends live there. And so I actually went into their neighborhood like at 7 in the morning, and I drove loops around their neighborhood trying to get my odometer to read this. Keep in mind, I might be late to chapel. Okay, I was. So I was looping around this neighborhood, and I finally I got to where I wanted to be, but I was not quite at my friend's house. So I got out of my car and I ran down to his house because I wanted to celebrate with somebody. I ran down to his house and it was so early, I was about to knock. I'm like, I don't want to wake the kids up, but he has a Ring doorbell. So I just talked to his Ring doorbell. And he probably recorded it and he probably saw it later, and he's probably like, yeah, you're weird, man. But I was like, Brad. I did it. He has no idea what I did it means. I did it. Like, my odometer says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? This is how lame I am. This is what distracts me. Like, no joke, I could have seen like a little old lady like trying to cross the street. See you, little old lady. I got things to do, right? That's like a heavenly thing. I got my mind set on earthly things. I could have seen like a young mom trying to like get her cart down the stairs. What is that called? Where you put the kids in it? Not a cart. Stroller down the stairs. I have older kids now. Right? And I could have been like, see a little young lady mom, like deal with it. I got things to do. Like I was so distracted by things of this earth. And I know I'm not alone. I'm alone on this. But I know I'm not alone on other things. I know that you get distracted by different goals and missions in life. Like our mission in life should be to set our minds on things above, not on things below, right? Yet when we see a yard sale sign, turning into the yard sale sign, right? Who cannot resist a yard sale? Be loud, be proud. I know there's more than one. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, seventh grade Ella. Okay. So I also get distracted with emails, right? You clean up your email box every once in a while, okay? Your junk mail. When you're cleaning up my junk mail, I cannot resist looking at Zillow. Like Zillow sends me houses just like they send you houses. Are you in the market? No, you're not. But I wanna like click on it and be distracted by things of this earth. Like, ooh, could I get a good deal? Can I be bigger and better? Can I like, my mission in life is to do that? Like, I know you're with me on this. Our goals and mission in life are sometimes distracted, like we should be set on things above, but sometimes we're distracted by putting our hearts and minds on things of this earth. And the challenge is, set your minds on things above. But Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, does a great job. He doesn't just say, hey, you should do this thing, and then like leave us to our own demise. He says, hey, you should do this thing, and here's how. Step number one, put to death. Put to death what? Put to death, therefore, all that belongs to your earthly nature. If you were to continue reading on in chapter 3, verse 5, it says, what are things that belong to your earthly nature? Things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Things like lying, rage, anger, malice, slander, filthy language. So if you want to truly live on mission for God, step one is to put to death those vices in your life. Examine your heart. Pray Psalm 139, like, examine my heart, Lord, and find any impure way within me that I might be forgiven and give it over to you, right? Put to death those earthly things. Now, Paul's also really good. Like, he's not like our dads that used to say, don't smoke, don't drink, and don't go that girls with do. That's not how it goes. How's it go? Don't chew, don't go with girls that do. I don't know. I don't like just saying, don't do this, don't do that, because then all you think about is things you can't do. Right? So he says, put to death those sinful things. But then he also says, pursue the good things. So put to death your old self and put on Christ. And in Colossians 3:12, he says, actually, really practical things that we can do to live out our life for Jesus. He says, put on, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentle, and patience, and bind these all together with love. But notice, all these things, if we're to live on mission and put on these things, notice what they are. They're all relational. Put on compassion, that's relational. Put on kindness, that's relational. Put on humility, that's relational. Put others before you. Put on gentleness, that's relational. Like all of these things that we're supposed to pursue in life are living on mission for God with those practical things that we're supposed to be living out. And he ends it with this idea of Colossians 3:17, where it says, oh, there you go. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, every single day, whether in word, like your speech, or deed, your actions, we are to do it for the glory of God. Does what we're saying glorify God? Is what we're doing glorify God? Is what we're pursuing, thinking about, glorify God? This is the goal, you guys, and it's not easy. And no one here has mastered this. We're all struggling with different things, obviously. But when we set our minds on things above and not on earthly things, it's a lot easier to remember who God is and what he's done in our lives. And I want to like take this funnel down to even some specifics. There are a couple things. We're going to transition into something really cool this morning. When you grow in your relationship with God, it certainly does get easier to put aside and put to death those things because you're pursuing other things. You're emptying your cup out and filling it with good things. And we want to recognize three individuals today that have been pursuing the daily mission of God. And one of the ways that we're going to do that this morning is through commissioning three deacons. But really quick, before we do that, I want to explain a little bit about the leadership at Believers Fellowship. We have two offices of the church, two leadership types. We have elders, and then we have deacons. And our elders are based on 1 Timothy and Titus, like people who are able to teach, who have honor their wives and honor their families and are living above reproach. And they are ones that meet twice a month, and they pray for our church. They set vision for our church. They set leadership and direction for our church. Those are the elders. The deacons, on the other hand, they're the ones that are more behind the scenes. They have all the same qualifications as an elder, but they're built to serve. And they are built to live on mission for God in just a unique way. And we get this idea from the Bible. In the book of Acts, you see the early church. They have the apostles, which are acting as those elders, and they're leading the church. They're teaching, they're praying, they're providing that spiritual nourishment for the church. And it was unity, and it was beautiful, and there was diversity. But within that diversity, there started to rise up some issues. And so the church appointed seven men to lead as deacons, as servants of the church. And they would distribute the food differently. They would work behind the scenes. And that's kind of where we've been modeling that. All throughout the New Testament, you see the same types of leadership, the elders or the shepherds, overseers, as well as the deacons. This morning, we get a chance to commission three guys that have just been living on mission for God. That they are the greatest example that I can think of this morning to say, what does it look like to set your mind on things above and not on things of earth? It looks like pursuing the office of deacon. It looks like serving with your whole heart. So we've got Dave Nowotensky, Keith Wade, and David McColgan, and we're going to take a unique moment this morning, and we're going to commission them and pray for them. So if we could get Dave and Rosie and David and Marissa and Keith and Camille up here, as well as some elders, we are going to celebrate what God's done in their lives and celebrate their call to leadership. I realize I should have called them up while I was giving my spiel. So this is, again, a unique opportunity. As we pray for them, will you also pray for them? Because they are called to live in a glass house where, as leaders, they are modeling that idea of living out their faith 52 weeks of year. All right? So we get a unique thing right now, and we're going to just have the elders pray for them as they commission them. But really quick, David, thank you for stepping up and being a deacon of this church. We commission you to lead as a deacon at Believers Fellowship, and we thank you for your God-honoring life. We pray that you continue to do that. Keith, thank you for stepping up and being a deacon. We commission you as a leader of this church in the deacon role. We pray that you will live in a glass house and be held accountable to others as you seek to model what it looks like to lead. David, also thank you for stepping up. We commission you as a deacon of Believers Fellowship to serve and put yourself in the shoes of Jesus as humility as you put others before you. Thank you for your service. Elders, I'm asking you to pray for them as we send them off.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for these guys, and we thank you, Lord, for their wonderful families as well. And Lord, we ask that you would bless them and that you would watch over them, that, Lord, you would just give them wisdom and all the things, Lord, that you've brought into their lives throughout them growing up and now as adults, Father, and how you've just molded them. And we're just grateful, Father, that they are here and that their families are here with their kids, and we ask that you would just bless them and protect them, Father, in a special way. Amen.
Father, I thank you for just all the folks in this room and the ways that they serve one another and keep this church going. I thank you for the lives that we see changed each and every week. And Father, specifically now, I thank you for these men and their families as they are stepping up into the role of deacon. I thank you for the way that they've served this past year in you know, going through the commissioning process through COVID and the extra challenges that that brought. I thank you for their faithfulness and their perseverance through hard conversations and tireless service. And so, Father, we entrust them to you. We pray that your Spirit would be upon them and their families, that they would continue to serve our body out of your strength. We pray your protection from the evil one. And we just look forward to just a lifetime of service and the way that you will use them in the future in our body. We just pray this in Jesus' name.
Father God, we are grateful for the children that you have called to serve and their willingness to answer that call. God, I pray special protection over their marriages. I pray that you bless them in unexpected ways. God, give them a good sense of bandwidth as they serve and as they pour out their lives in honor of you on mission. God, I pray that it is worshipful and that it is joyful and that every day they are drawn closer to you. God, may they inspire us to be more like you. May they hold us to a higher standard, and we are grateful for your gift of their presence with us in this body. In your good name, amen.
Awesome. If you want to get to know them more, they'll be around after service. But I know it's kind of weird if you're coming in and you're like, this is kind of weird to pray over people and to call them deacons and elder, like weird terms. This is just what we're reflecting what the Bible talks about. Another kind of weird thing, though, that we do as Christians is we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We have a memorial every Sunday in memory of what Jesus has done. So as the band comes back up, and hopefully you have your communion elements with you, we get an opportunity to remember what Jesus has done. And every week, this is kind of one of those things that we can do to help us live out every single week. This is a reminder. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we now have the opportunity to go and spread the hope that is in Jesus' name and do it in love that binds all of those attributes together. And can I just give you a couple of things as you take communion in a moment? This week, I want to challenge you to commit to living on mission for God. And maybe that looks different for everybody, but everyone is called to do that. So this week, maybe a few times a week, if you do it every day, that'd be good for you. But just every single morning before you leave the house, maybe get on your knees and say the Lord's Prayer. Maybe get on your knees and pray that you might set your mind on things above to be focused on his kingdom and not on earthly things. And you just see the difference that might make at your work, at your school, in your community, at Costco even. Like God's light will shine through you and change the world around us. So let's stand and let's remember and do this reminder to live for him. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We take this bread and remember God's broken body on the cross. Let's take it together. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup, this juice, is a covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As often as we do this, church, we are proclaiming to the world around us that we are not living for ourselves, but we are living for God. We are putting our trust and hope in things above. Let's pray together. Father God, will you help us to be reminded of what you've done in our lives, of what you can do in our lives. Father, you will help us overcome sin struggles. You'll help us overcome fear of sharing our life with others. It's you who is working in us. Will you give us the boldness and the courage to just follow that prompting in our spirit? That's you telling us to share our story. That's you telling us to open that door. It's you telling us to encourage the people around us in ways that will draw them to you. Lord, we love you. We want to live for you, not just once, 1 week a year, but Lord, every day we want to serve you. We know what you've done. Will you continue to do it again? In your son's name, amen.